Jen.
Hi, Tisha.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to 99% Effective and Happy New Year. Happy 2024.
I know. Can you believe it? It's already 2024.
No. Mm-mm.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone. We're excited for 2024. We have some great things happening.
We do.
But right now, we just want to bring back an oldie but a goodie.
An oldie but a goodie. I had some really big shoes to fill. That's all I'm saying. We're talking about the one and only Georgerie Perry.
Hi, George.
Hey, how
are you guys? It's good to see you. Happy New Year.
Good to see you guys. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah.
Our pleasure.
Yep. So we are going to try to keep our format to no more than 30 minutes. We
Correct.
Think that's the way to go moving forward. That's one of our changes for 24. And this is our first one doing that under a 30-minute format.
Awesome. Oh, boy. The clock's ticking.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know George likes to talk, so.
Yeah. So I'm going to start. So you used to be the co-host with me in 99% Effective. But our listeners may not know how much about you and your critical role that you've always had with the agency. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do at SARA, and what led you to a career in human services?
Sure. Yeah, so I've been with the agency since 2019, so just over 5 years, actually, this month. So that's pretty exciting.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. I did have a cupcake yesterday to celebrate, so it's always exciting. I snuck in and I took one. So you know, I started off back in the day as the director with Jim. So I oversaw our day programs at that time. And kind of over that time, I've kind of changed my roles. And, you know, currently I'm the chief program officer over adult services. So my primary responsibilities really are kind of oversight of the organization from regulatory and policy and procedure and kind of fiduciary responsibility for like my programs. But kind of my career to human services, I think, was like a lot of people where I really enjoyed having conversations and feeling like I was, you know, helping someone kind of in whatever their path or their journey was. So after I graduated from college, I started working in education in kind of that special ed alternative education setting for students who were at risk, whether it be because they have some special education needs and they need more attention, or they're kind of struggling with kind of getting through their courses in a day. So I started in that environment. And I did that for about 6 to 9 months. And, you know, I said, I really enjoy this, but I think there's something different that I want to do. So I then transitioned to working with at-risk youth between the ages of kind of 5 to 12. And I was working in the group home setting.
Mm-hmm.
So kids who had been removed from their home, kind of involved in the DCF process, and now we're residing kind of in a group home with some other kids around their age.
That's a big change.
It is a big change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went from working with kind of teens who were about to graduate high school to working with kids that were, you know, kindergarten through kind of fourth, mm-hmm. fifth grade. So, you know, a very different environment overall, but really rewarding and a lot of fun. You know, I think the opportunities within that age group, you know, whether they're dealing with some of the mental health issues or just trying to acclimate to a new setting, provided me a way to connect with them. You know, I was still pretty young myself. So, you know, I had the energy and the enthusiasm to work with them and do the things that they enjoyed, but still provide them structure that, you know, a lot of times they did not have. So I found that to be, you know, a really great environment. But at the same time, it was emotionally draining because you're mm-hmm. also working with these kids who have been removed from their home, and they're,
yeah.
you know, for a lot of times they're babies. You know, you have kids who are 5, 6, and 7, and they don't really know much about the world except they're no longer with, you know, whoever their parental figure was. So, you know, that work was fun, but definitely draining.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, you know, let me try a different environment. And then I began working with adults. So I was working in kind of independent living for adults who had an intellectual or developmental disability, but had their own apartments, or they might live in a family home. That transition I found to be really enjoyable because I was able to still use the skills I had developed previously working with kind of the older youths, but also focusing on how do you help these adults maintain their independence. So some people, it might be simply making sure that they have their bills paid and making sure that they're getting to the grocery store. Others, it might be making sure that they can get to work, making sure that, you know, the communication that needs to happen between their team members is happening, but for the most part, they're really independent. We're kind of doing some drop-in supports and things like that.
So this is interesting. I didn't know all of your background, but everything you're describing, you almost like have done every one of the waiver services that we offer now.
Yes.
Like I'm listening to what you're saying, like, oh my gosh, you've really done everything, which gives you like the perfect foundation for your current position.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think about it in that instance or in kind of that way until you mentioned it, but yeah. I have done a lot of the services that we provide or kind of adjacent services, you know, whether it be some of the mental health stuff that we work with, that's really not exactly what we do because of our structure being, you know, primarily day program focused, but it's certainly, you know, it's certainly laid there kind of within the services that we're providing, yeah. You know, providing that support during the day, providing that support in the evening for people, making sure that they can maintain and secure their employment, you know, which is a big piece of what we've done for the last, you know, 60 years. You know, it's something that I like that environment and I like to see the progress that people are making. And sometimes we play a outsized role and sometimes it's, hey, we're just helping you along, but you're doing all the hard work. Yeah. You know, so that's really exciting. So I think that for me, that is what I enjoy most about kind of human services, that you get to really make those genuine connections. There are people that I work with here at Sarah that I've known for 12 plus years. And, you know, it's one of those where you see people in different environments and as they transition in life, you might, you know, meet them again. So that's really nice.
Well, I know Jen has another question for you, but what I want to say is, and I say this to anyone who does the work that you do, just thank you, because yeah. you truly are making a difference in so many people's lives. And we need people to want to join this workforce.
Absolutely.
To help just make the world a better place.
I think one of your best attributes and what you bring to the agency, and I've told you this before, is your ability to not just connect with individuals we support, but also the staff. Mm-hmm. So it helps to really, you know, motivate everybody to do, you're kind of like leading the ship. So it's a good person to have at the helm.
Absolutely. Because it could be emotionally draining.
Yeah.
It could be. So I'm just going to stick with emotionally draining. So then you get burnout. So if, as a good leader, from what Jen's saying is you may see that. So you could help with that. And I think that's really important in this line of work. And I just give kudos to anyone who is in this line of work and a lot of thanks.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. And I don't think that there's enough thanks that we can give and appreciation that we can give to the staff that do a lot of the heavy lifting, right? Well, whether you call them frontline workers, direct support professionals,
boots on the ground,
enrichment support professionals, you know, whatever the term is that your agency uses, you know, it's important to recognize how much hard work they're doing day in, day out. And I think it's something that we try to do a good job of recognizing, thanking, and showing appreciation. But I think, you know, my responsibility along with, you know, those that I work with is how do we do a better job recognizing that we can't always do everything that people might want, but it's about, you know, being open in communication. Okay, here are the things that we think we can do. Here are the things that we can't, and here's why we might not be able to do them at this time. Yeah. Here are the roadblocks that don't exist within, you know, our organization that, you know, whether it be something at the state level or something with a funder that we have to stay within these guidelines, and that's why this is the way it is, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard to explain that because it might not necessarily make sense. And it's like, yeah, I get it. There are things that we all do and we wish they could change, but also recognizing, you know, if we're doing the best we can and making sure we communicate that information, I hope that it's received that way.
I think it definitely is. So I don't think we could have a bigger year of change on deck coming up. Incredible things coming down the line. Undoubtedly, the biggest one is going to be, you know, us making the decision to establish ourselves as an independent organization and separating from the Sarah family of agencies. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I know that this has been discussed for a few years now, but let's hear from you. So tell our listeners what this means and for Sarah going forward.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the biggest piece to understand is that, you know, as an organization, Sarah in its versions has been around since about 1957. You know, so that is a really long lineage of about, you know, 65, 66 years at this point of providing services in some format in the Shoreline community. And, you know, I think the biggest change for the organizations came around 1990 when the decision was made to separate the one organization into four separate, you know, and at that time, the creation was the Sarah Foundation, which was doing the fundraising and development for the other three program facing organizations. And so those organizations were us here at Sarah Inc., Sarah Seneca, and Sarah Tuxis. Our organization has always focused on employment services and day services, whereas, you know, Seneca and Tuxis had more of an impact in the residential environments. And that's important. You know, it really provided, you know, a full picture for someone's life where they could get their day supports, they could get their residential supports and be supported, kind of whatever that meant for them. And as our organization has grown, we've gone through some shifts in how we provide services and the services that we've provided. So one of the biggest ones is Birth to Three. Birth to Three is kind of this small department at the state with an outsized impact in the actual community. So our organization and our Birth to Three department, which is known as KidSteps, provides supports in about 50 towns throughout Connecticut. That is a lot of towns in Connecticut, and those towns aren't just along the shoreline. And I think that's a big piece that's really important, you know, as we continue this conversation, that while the organization started in the shoreline, we're now in probably 75 towns across all of the agency. On the adult services side, you know, we go as far down as kind of the Bridgeport, Trumbull, Shelton area, all the way up 95 to about East Lyme, down Route 9, just kind of shy of Middletown and kind of back towards the shoreline. And so there's a lot of ground that's covered. And because of, you know, the way that our organization has transformed over the years, we really needed to look at what is our vision for the future and what is a name that might better kind of account for everything that we do. What are our goals? Where do we want to be? And so that, you know, was a process that was started, you know, before my time and has led us to the point where, you know, we're saying now, okay, it's important for us to establish ourselves as a separate brand, recognizing, you know, the shared lineage and the importance of the other two organizations. You know, they're going to continue to do good work. Their work is going to be, you know, primarily focused in the residential and some day supports, but our services have gone in a different direction. And that's okay. And it's important for us to recognize that, you know, we're serving over 1,800 children and families in our Birth to Three department. We're serving over 200 individuals in our adult services department. And so with that, what is a name that will better encapsulate what we're doing as an organization now and then moving forward? But the most important thing is none of our services are changing.
Right.
So as you know, the organization today, when it comes to our employment supports, whether it be in the group format, the individualized, our three-day programs, none of that will change.
So participants don't have to find a new program. Sarah's not closing.
Nope.
There's so much confusion, you know, initially. Right. So
it's really just kind of a rebranding.
So it's a rebrand and there'll be a new name, but you'll still come to the same location. Mm-hmm. You'll still see the same staff. You'll still receive the same supports. We'll still pick you up in the same van, or you can come here and get here.
So the van is going to have a different sign on it.
No, well, so our vans don't have signs now. Oh, so okay. none of that will change. It'll still be that discreet minivan that we swoop in and pick you up on. No, but I think, you know, not to understate, you know, that this is a big change. You know, there's certainly going to be, you know, some bumps along the road of, okay, this is this organization, but you used to be this organization.
Right.
Absolutely. Some of that will still be there. But, you know, as we kind of move forward, you know, we're looking at how do we better serve, you know, the people that we're serving now, but also thinking about what might be the things that they need moving forward. So one of the newer initiatives that we took this past year was going into assistive technology to support some of our individuals. You know, and I think that speaks to us recognizing that as the individuals we're supporting get older, there might be other things that they need to maintain that individualism and that independence that they've come to know. But there also might be things that allow them to be more independent. And so us stepping into the assistive technology space and recognizing, hey, there might be something we can do to kind of help you here was really important for us. And what we're seeing is that the individuals that we've kind of started doing assessments with are really receptive to that. And so that's going to be something that's really big for us, you know, along with, you know,
I think that's definitely a future topic for another podcast.
Absolutely. We need to have Jamie on here.
Yeah. My other passion is digital equity and digital inclusion. So and it just, it's the way of the world right now. So I love that aspect. So, you know, I know we're going to have more in our future podcasts. We're going to have more information for people with this change. And, you know, there's going to be some changes with the podcast itself, but pretty much everything's going to stay the same with some changes,
but it's not going to stay the same.
Right, right.
That's kind of the theme, right?
Right.
Same, but different. It's
right,
okay.
Exactly. Right.
All exciting stuff, though.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really good things coming down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
So did you have anything else you wanted to add with any of the changes that are coming?
No, I mean, I think you guys really kind of got everything. Again, I think, yes, there are lots of changes that are going to come, but so much of what people have come to know and love about the organization will remain the same. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a refresh. You're going to see a new name, but everything else will continue.
Right.
So, you know, I think that that gets it all. And I want to thank you guys for having me back on. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Sarah Inc.'s website. Our podcast is designed to help you find the resources you need for children and adults with intellectual and or developmental disabilities or delays. If you have a topic you want to learn more about, let us know. We would love to hear from you.